High 92.
The following program is sponsored and paid for by Battleground News, LLC. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time for Battleground News. To join the battle, call 904-831-0600. And now, here are Karen Morton and Jim Davis.
All right, everybody. Happy Monday. It's Monday. But this is a good week because we had a regular weekend. There's no hurricane. I'm starting to figure out what day it is. Today is Monday.
Happy Monday.
Monday. Right. Well, we're not going to be able to hear Jim on his regular mic here because we have a loose ground on there. So we're going to have to either have you share with Ray over there because that's not going to be airworthy, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I
unplugged the microphone.
Well, that's
but that's still not working.
Is the humming still there?
The hum is still there, and his microphone is dead.
Okay, so. Folks, remember we were having some problems last Friday when all of a sudden the computer went down and you got WBOB.
Well, that was a separate issue.
That was a different issue. Now we have other issues in the studio. We've got a microphone that is just not going to...
I don't know. Do you think we might have a Democratic cleaning person or during the night?
You know, that's a real possibility.
Sorry about that.
Well, if you guys would put that mic in between you...
I guess you're going to have to share a little bit there, but...
I don't share.
Okay. All right, now we've got a little battle going on.
There is a line drawn in the sand, without a doubt.
Here we go. All right, so we have a full studio. This is going to be a heck of a day.
Now, the funny thing is, Ray said, I'm not going to talk, and now he doesn't want to share the mic.
Well, he doesn't. Yeah, talking and sharing are two different things. You can talk and still not play well with others. You know, that's how it goes. Besides, he's just stubborn. Oh, goodness. Okay, so this is Battleground News. I don't even know if I said that, but it is Battleground News. I'm Karen Morton, your host, and our co-host is...
Jim Davis. Happy Monday.
Absolutely. And in the studio with us is our A-team member, John Kraft.
Why, good afternoon.
Hello, hello, hello. And A-team member, Ray Morton.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, now he's angry because we made him share. I don't know what that is. Hello. All right, so we are actually going to have a, believe it or not, we're actually going to get to a show here. Calling in at the end, beginning of our next segment is going to be Representative Mike Hill. And Mike Hill, I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with him over here in Northeast Florida, but I think people need to be familiar with him because he has, last year, he filed three bills and they didn't really get very far. And he's going to be at them again. The session for the next legislative session in Tallahassee for the state of Florida is actually starts the middle of January and goes through the middle of March. But the committee weeks... The first committee week where they start doing the work and start going through bills and figuring which of those 5,000-6,000 that get filed get narrowed down and narrowed down and narrowed down to, you know, the 300, 400, 500 that actually get passed and signed into law. So that first committee week is next week.
Wow.
It's coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. And then there's a few weeks off, and then in October... middle of October, they go back again, and then I think there's four more weeks between that and the holidays, and then they'll start in again on January. So
busy.
Yeah, we're getting into the field now, and we need to start paying attention to what is happening in Tallahassee, what plans people have, what bills have been submitted, and we are going to be talking a lot about this on Friday. Ken Morrow was able to go through a kind of a quick list of bills that have been submitted by the other side to grab our guns. And there are a few of them. And we're going to have to fight that tooth and nail because it's just crazy. We can't allow it. We simply can't allow any more infringement on the Second Amendment than we already have. So One of the bills that Mike Hill has proposed before and will propose again is the repeal of the red flag law that is currently in effect here in Florida. That's the bill that everybody got their panties in a wad kind of deal after the Parkland shooting. And everybody said, well, we've got to do something. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. Everybody's in an emotional mess. That doesn't mean you've got
to
react.
That's the worst time to react.
Absolutely. The worst time. And so that's what happened. And we wound up with a red flag law that has now become the standard bearer for other states. There are now 17 states that have red flag laws. And in Washington, D.C., we've got our two U.S. senators up there, and unfortunately our congressman here in Duval, we've got Congressman Rutherford. We have the two state senators, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, and they are all talking about doing a national red flag law. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. The red flag law that we have here in Florida, they say, oh, well, there's due process. No, there's due process after they arrive at your home and take all of your weapons.
Seems like a drastic violation of the Fourth Amendment to me.
It's a huge violation of the Fourth Amendment, not to mention the Second. It is unbelievable what has happened in the state of Florida. Florida, which was a bellwether for conservative action, we have a red flag law. So, and we've got legislators who are pushing it in Washington, D.C. So it's unbelievable to me. So we're going to be talking with Mike about that. And then he has two other bills that we'll spend some time on as well. And one of them is the heartbeat bill. And I know, Jim, that's something that was always kind of near and dear to you.
Jim Davis loves babies. And that's just the deal. That's just the deal.
Okay. Jim Davis loves babies. Let's watch that. I don't know where we're going with this one.
No,
it's true.
To take the most innocent in our society and target them for political purposes is the epitome of wickedness and vileness.
Well, originally they were targeted for genocidal purposes, obviously.
Right.
And, that's the history of the whole thing. There have been several states where heartbeat bills have been passed in the last year. Florida, again, had one that was on the table, but it didn't really go anywhere. So I know Mike is going to be talking a lot about the heartbeat bill that he's going to be bringing back this year. And then on top of that, he was the one who was pushing the monument protection bills, monument preservation, so that any monument, regardless of what side it was, if it dealt with people who were either military or first responders, that they would be protected in the state of Florida. And that's something that I think a lot of people are interested in. It's one thing to agree or disagree with what that monument is saying. It's quite another to wipe out our history and have generations that have absolutely no clue of what happened before them, so they have no idea what mistakes not to make in the future.
That's right. That's right. You know, one can take a side on, you know, the statue thing, but the reality is this. There were people that fought for the North. There were people that fought for the South. And it was not about slavery. It was more about constitutional rights.
Well, and exactly.
Well, that was one of the issues. Let's face it. It was an economic issue for the South. And generally, the South wanted to keep slavery. The industrial North was quite prepared for an extended war. Let's not sugarcoat that.
It was an extended rights issue.
Okay, and we're gonna be talking about this in a lot more detail when Mike calls in after this next break, which is coming up pretty soon here. I do want to mention to you that again, it's Representative Mike Hill who will be joining us after the break. And anyone who wants to call in and ask questions, because I specifically asked him, is he available to take questions online or on the air? And he said, absolutely. So if you have questions of Mike Hill, you want to make comments, you can give us a call here, 904-831-0600. That is 904-831-0600. And we'll definitely take those on the air. So please stay tuned. We're going to be back after these messages, and we'll see you soon. The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. Well, some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
This is Karen Morton, and I'm here to tell you about the next exciting evening coming up at the Duval Trump Club. We are meeting on Saturday, September 21st. The speaker that's coming in, Colonel Steve Rogers.
President Donald Trump understands that we are embarking upon a great struggle. And that struggle, ladies and gentlemen, is for the heart, the soul, and the spirit of the United States of America.
Colonel Rogers is the president of America Winning Coalition, but he's also a member of the advisory board to Donald J. Trump 2020. It's going to be an exciting evening. Come and find out what's happening in the national campaign and what we can do to help out. Our previous events have sold out. You can register for free on Eventbrite. Just look up Steve Rogers in Jacksonville, and there will be a contribution of $20 at the door. This includes the presentation and dinner. Don't miss the next Duval County Trump Club meeting on Saturday, September 21 at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneval Road in Jacksonville.
Did you hear? Judge Jeanine Pirro is coming to Jacksonville, and she's fired up.
The lunacy on the left, and it's worse. Lunacy has kind of almost a, you can excuse them. This is vicious. It is violent. It is disruptive. It is chaos. It is anarchy.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is a New York Times best-selling author and host of Justice with Judge Jeanine on the Fox News Channel, and is bringing her new book to Jacksonville.
In the book, Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge, I mean, I talk about their resistance and their revenge. They are radicals. They will do anything they need to stop us.
The Duval Trump Team 2020 Florida invites you to be a part of this exciting night, Thursday, September 19th at the University of North Florida Adam W. Herbert Center. Everyone attending will get an autographed copy of her new book, Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge.
We need to fight back. We need to make sure that we're heard.
Get your tickets now. Just go to eventbrite.com and search for Judge Jeanine in Jacksonville.
American Electrical Contracting, where you're right at a fair price.
Do you take your power for granted? Call American Electrical and make sure your home or office is operating at peak efficiency. Get an electrical checkup. Call 737-7770 for any electrical need. Look for the red, white, and blue eagle on the side of their truck, and you'll know it's American Electrical.
American Electrical Contracting, wired right at a fair price.
And now, back to Battleground News with Karen Morton and Jim Davis.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Battleground News. Again, the number here is 904-831-0600. And right before we get to our guests, I just want to say thank you very much and welcome to our brand new sponsor, American Electrical. They're a great team of guys. They're fantastic. One of the premier electrical contractors out there. And absolutely. And we are thrilled to have them on board. And we will be hearing a lot more from them in the months to come. So again, American Electrical, welcome. Thank you so much. All right, on the line with us is Representative Mike Hill from the Panhandle. Mike, are you on that line?
I am, Karen. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to come on the air with us today. We've got things to talk about because you are a very passionate guy. You are a very conservative guy. And I want people in the state of Florida and certainly in Northeast Florida to know some of the things that you've been working on and you're trying to get past in Tallahassee. You want to start with, we kind of gave people a little bit of an overview in the first segment about, you know, you had three major issues you wanted to cover. Let's kind of move in, first of all, if you don't mind, move into your work on the heartbeat bill, because I know that a lot of people here and my co-host Jim Davis certainly...
We're all behind you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how that works?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on, Jim and Karen. And I'll share with you, the heartbeat bill is something that I am passionate about. And the reason for that is because of the oath that I took. But before I even get into that, let me just briefly tell you what the heartbeat bill does.
Yes, sir.
It says that once a heartbeat is detected in the womb, then that preborn infant cannot be aborted. Now, my bill is changed a little from, let me say it differently. My bill has changed a lot from the one that I introduced last year.
Okay.
By two ways. One, there are no exceptions in the bill. There are no exceptions for the case of rape, incest, human sex trafficking, or the life of the mother being in danger.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I removed those exceptions. That, first of all, rape, incest, and all those terrible things are a tragedy. And they are horrible situations. And, of course, you wouldn't want that to happen to anyone. Right. Unfortunately, it does. But it's just a tragedy. Now, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And I believe that there is no life present unless God is present. So as horrible and horrific as those incidences are of rape, incest, and so forth, God has decided that there's going to be life here. And who am I to tell God, no, you made a mistake and we're going to kill this baby?
Okay.
No, I think instead that we can turn a tragedy into a triumph. Let that baby live and have the same God-given rights as anyone else, the right to life and prosper in this great nation.
Excellent.
So, Mr. Representative, I have long been a proponent that when the Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that it actuates for those children, whether they're born or unborn. One of the questions that I ask pro-choice people, and I've never gotten a succinct answer, is what do you do with the child's humanity? And no one can come back and give me an answer on that.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. And the reason is because the answer is that every person at the moment of conception has intrinsic value. And that is because they are made in the likeness and image of God. So you can't try to place a monetary or extrinsic value on that life. It has intrinsic value simply because it exists. And so that's why they can't give you a good answer for that. They don't want to put a value on that baby because then that means that they are being held accountable. Mm-hmm. So the other big change which I made to the bill is we added a preamble to the bill. The preamble has 27 whereases. And the reason why we have so many whereases is to make sure that the courts will not have to guess exactly what we meant when we were putting this bill together. A whereas describes specifically what we meant in each circumstance. So what we did was, and I can't say that I invented this, a state senator from Tennessee made me aware of this, something they're doing in their state, and when I read it, I thought it was brilliant. Currently, if there is a court challenge when it comes to an abortion, it always goes through Roe v. Wade, and which is based on the 14th Amendment and a, let me add, contrived right to privacy of a woman to be able to have the privacy of killing that baby in her womb. Nowhere in that Constitution does it say that. Nowhere in the amendment does it say that. That Supreme Court, which came up with that decision in 1973, tied itself into a pretzel to come to that conclusion. Right. So what we did instead was we tied it to the Ninth Amendment, That is what the whereases do. The Ninth Amendment says simply because a God-given inalienable right is not stated here in this Constitution, it doesn't mean that you don't have it. You do have it. That's what the Ninth Amendment says. So it takes it outside the scope of just our Constitution and takes it into common law. And common law states that every person has a right to life, and personhood is defined as conception in the womb. So we change the whole argument. It doesn't go through Roe v. Wade at all, 14th Amendment. It becomes something completely new.
Wow.
And it goes under personhood under the Ninth Amendment. So I think it's a great bill. I think we're going to get some support for it in this next session. And Governor DeSantis said last session that if a heartbeat bill made it to his desk, he would sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he'll continue with that thought and sign the one that we can get to his desk in the next legislative session.
That's a brilliant tactic.
I have a question for you.
This is Ray. This is Ray.
Regarding the Ninth Amendment and one of your whereases, do you specifically call the Ninth Amendment, which invokes common law? And if that wording is not in there, I would recommend that you put it in.
That wording is in there. And we also invoke the common law by referring to Blackstone, who, as you know, was a mentor to many of our founding fathers, and they use his document as a tool as they were writing our Constitution.
Yeah, I have his commentary on my cell phone.
Do you really?
Yeah. Two constitutionalists right here, for sure. Yeah. And by the way, for those, and I don't mean to interrupt, but that's just a quick little segue in here. Mike Hill will be joining us in Jacksonville next week for an evening, and you two can talk. And I hope everybody comes out. We'll give you more details a little bit later, but I hope everybody comes out to meet you and talk with you. This is truly a brilliant tactic. Oh my gosh!
Well, it also is John Kraft here. It's finally a bill that sounds well written. If all laws were well written, the Supreme Court, both the state of Florida and the U.S. Supreme Court, wouldn't have a job.
Hear, hear.
Well, that's right. And what it does is, even if it should come before them, because there are such things as frivolous lawsuits, they won't have to make any subjective guesses. They'll see the whereas that spell it out specifically. And so it'll be a case where it'll either the lawsuit can be dismissed or they'll have to agree to the legislation as we wrote it, because there is nothing in there that is unconstitutional.
By the way, in Roe v. Wade, Ms. Roe, which was a pseudonym, stated that her testimony was false, and the Supreme Court knows that. And I would think, since they know it was a false testimony, that the Roe v. Wade should be vacated.
Well, you would think, but that would be too much like doing what's right.
There you go. That would be too much. That would be way too much for the Democrat Party and some of their appointees to. I don't think they'd be apoplectic at that point. All right. So this is fantastic. Now, Mike, you've got two other bills that you are working on for this legislative session. And let's move on to the next one if we can. Now, we're coming up with 1 minute to a break, but at least let's get it out there. And that would be your monument preservation.
Yes. It is called the Soldiers and Heroes Monument Protection Act. And what it does is any cenotaph that was erected in the state of Florida after we became a territory, which was 1822, that it is to be protected, that it cannot be taken down, it cannot be defaced, it cannot be desecrated, it cannot be destroyed. And that would include all significant events that the U.S. has been involved in from the very beginning up into our current conflict. And it protects more things than just what it has been accused of protecting is Confederate monuments. No, it is way broader.
It goes way beyond that, way beyond that. Okay, we've got to take a hard break, but we will be back. Mike, stay with us. We'll be back after these messages. This is great.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Britain's House of Commons has demanded the government hand over communications among officials about its decision to suspend Parliament and its plans for a no-deal Brexit. Lawmakers have passed a motion calling on the government to release by Wednesday formal or informal emails and text messages between aides and officials relating to the suspension, as well as to the impact of leaving the European Union without a deal. Under parliamentary rules, the government is obliged to release them. President Trump says U.S. talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan are dead after they collapsed last week. What had seemed an imminent deal to end America's longest war unraveled at the last minute. Mr. Trump tweeted Saturday evening that he had canceled his planned meeting with the Taliban and Afghan leaders at Camp David this past weekend. On Wall Street, the Dow by 38 points, the Nasdaq dropped 15. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Nikki Whaley. JSO is asking for the public's help in finding a shooter who opened fire outside of an Arlington apartment complex on Townsend Boulevard on Sunday afternoon. JSO received the call that multiple shots were fired. Now, when they arrived, they found the boy with two gunshot wounds to his back. His wounds are not believed to be life-threatening. According to News 4 Jax, this is the 14th person shot in Jacksonville in the past 15 days. An accident on Saturday afternoon now brings the total of traffic fatalities in Duval County to 116 this year. That's according to JSO. A teenager was struck and killed Saturday around 4 p.m. when he ran out into the road to get into his family's van. The two-lane road leads to Cedar Point, which is a very popular fishing area. The crash took place at Cedar Point Road and Saw Pit Road. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
You're seeing some delays because of an accident on the West Beltway 295 southbound beyond Blanding Boulevard. Also a disabled vehicle on I-95 heading south before Old St. Augustine Road and emergency vehicles on Bay Meadows Road westbound at the 295 East Beltway. Mostly clear tonight. Expect a low 74. Tuesday, mostly sunny. High 92.
Congratulations to Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island for winning the Best of Clay top spot in the health food category. Grassroots Natural Market, providing families in Clay County with the finest selection of fresh, nutritious foods available. Foods that are free from pesticides, hormones, and artificial preservatives. Grassroots offers a wide variety of gluten-free and wheat-free items, as well as a large selection of vitamins, herbs, and CBD oils. Grassroots Natural Market. They're on the East-West Parkway next to the Fleming Island Theater. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
For your questions and comments to Battleground News, call 904-831-0600.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Battleground News. I'm your host, Karen Morton. Our co-host,
I'm Jim Davis.
And in the studio with us are A-Team members, John Kraft.
I am here.
And Ray Morton.
Present and accounted.
All right. And right before the break, we have been talking today with Mike Hill, Representative Mike Hill out of the Panhandle, about some of the initiatives, some of the bills that he's bringing forth in the next legislative session in Tallahassee. And we were talking right before the break about the second bill that he's really making a major push for, and that is the one to protect the monuments. Mike, and you were saying that these monuments are for any time, any military, any first responder thing.
Yes, Karen, absolutely. In fact, we list them in the bill. We start with the Anglo-Spanish War, which was started in 1585. We talk about the Battle of Fort Mosaic, which was fought in St. Augustine in 1740. And by the way, if you don't know the history of that battle, look it up. It is utterly fascinating.
It is.
And then there's the French and Indian Wars from 1756 to 1763. And, of course, our American Revolution, the Seminole Wars, the Mexican-American War, and we must include in it the Civil War, because the Civil War is the largest loss of American lives in any war on our soils. Over 600,000 men perished during that incident. So, of course, we have to include that as part of this bill that will protect any monuments that were erected for these incidences. Absolutely. We talk about the Spanish-American War, the Mexican Border War, of course, World War I and World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. We include the Bay of Pigs invasion. Hmm. And then there's the Persian Gulf War, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Operation Iraqi Freedom, and our current conflict that's going on. And what we said then is that any remembrance, which would mean an exhibit, artwork, a painting, stained glass, a statue, a monument, a memorial, a nameplate, a historical marker, a symbol, including a religious symbol that protects our crosses, you know, a tombstone, a plaque.
I love it.
Road name, what about a building, any historical flag or other display cannot be desecrated. It cannot be destroyed. It can't be moved.
Wow.
If that is done, then the person who commits that can be subject to a third-degree felony.
That is incredible. That is incredible. This is amazing work that you're doing. John?
Mike, I have one observation here. Being as you were from over in the Escambia County, District 1, I noticed back in 2013, it was noted when you won House District 2 race, you became the legislature's only black Republican, and there was a little bit of an eyebrow raising that now we've got a person of color that has included purposely those monuments toward Confederate soldiers or any soldier that was in the War Between the States. Was that a little bit of a torment for you, or did it just come naturally?
Oh, it was no torment at all. I thought it needed to be done. I come from a long history of military members who have served. My grandfather served in World War I in the Army. My father served in the Air Force during the Vietnam conflict. I served in the Air Force for 10 years, and it was during peacetime from 1980 to 1990. And I had a son who served the United States Marine Corps infantry rifleman. So we have four generations of serving this nation. And any hero who has served this nation to protect and defend it, and a monument or a statue has been raised in remembrance of them, it deserves to be protected. It deserves to be honored. But not only that, for the military purposes, what we have when we have these monuments there, it is a symbol of our legacy. It is a symbol of our history. It is art. It makes a statement that needs to be studied. The good parts of our history become our historical legacy. The bad parts, we learn about it and we don't repeat it.
Right.
But tearing it down is not the answer. It does not fix it. Which, by the way, is coming just from a small minority of the radical left who want to try and remake our history
yes.
by trying to tear things down. when tearing things down does not remake history. History is finite. It's there. It's solid. And so what we should do is learn from it and progress from it, not try to erase it from its existence.
Wonderful.
I have a request that you include the grave sites of any veteran, wherever they are, national cemetery, state cemetery, private cemetery, that there have been cases where such grave sites have been molested, and also to include not molesting or desecrating living monuments, that is, we veterans.
Well, actually, cemeteries are included in the bill.
Wonderful.
I didn't read them all, but cemeteries are included, that you cannot touch them. And now, in terms of honoring living monuments, veterans, I guess that depends on how old you are.
Ray's old enough to qualify.
Yeah.
I was born old enough.
He's born old. Oh, goodness. This is phenomenal. This is absolutely phenomenal. I know that you're going to have a lot of support around the state, and I think those of us in this room are more than willing to get out and try to make sure that people across the state of Florida get behind you, become aware of what you're doing and get behind you so that you've got some oomph, some pressure coming in from all sides to get these things done. Now, I want to move on to your third initiative, and that is basically the repealing of the red flag laws here in Florida. Is that correct?
That's correct. Shortly after the Parkland shooting that took place, mm-hmm. Let me say it, the tragedy of the Parkland shooting, which was horrible. I mean, that was something terrible, and those who went through that are still suffering.
Right.
That is a pain that may not ever go away. Unfortunately, we had emotional mob rule the day when that bill was passed. Thousands of people descended on Tallahassee and demanded that the government do something.
Yes.
And the government did do something, and I thought parts of what they did was good, but I also thought parts of it, they overstepped their constitutional boundaries. The good parts were the parts that were making our schools safer,
yes,
hardening our schools, providing funding for resource officers to protect our children at schools. Now, all of those measures there will indeed help deter or maybe even prevent the next tragedy which would happen.
Right.
But they went a little further and stepped on our Constitution with, one, the red flag laws, which essentially means gun confiscation.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is deemed mentally dangerous or incompetent, then there was 18 to 20-year-olds cannot purchase a weapon, which is utterly amazing
right.
to me. Here's an 18-year-old young man or woman can go off, join our military, fight and defend us, but when they come back home, they can't defend their own home.
Right. You get drafted and still not be able to own a gun on their own.
No, it's utterly amazing. Or let's say that here's a young family. The man is now deployed. He goes overseas. He leaves back home a 19-year-old spouse, a woman, with a daughter or a son, and she is unable to defend their home while he's gone.
Right.
And it steps on our Constitution in so many ways. And then there's the three-day waiting period. Once you purchase a weapon, you have to wait 3 days before you can pick it up. And then the definition of the bump stock, you can't buy or sell a bump stock in Florida. And the definition was so broad that it can mean any type of modification you make to your weapon, your gun, including the trigger. You put a new trigger on it, that could be considered a bump stock.
Really?
Because of the definition. So all of those were a gross display of stepping on our Constitution, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth and Fifth Amendment, and the 14th Amendment. All of those were trampled upon.
And the Ninth and Tenth.
Ninth and Tenth. And what baffles me, what I don't quite understand, is we have a legislative body that said an oath that I solemnly swear to protect and defend the Constitution.
Yes.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so when the Constitution is being infringed upon, you have to step up.
Absolutely.
To it. And that's why I filed the bill.
All right.
Because it's my duty.
Bravo.
That you've got us. I'll tell you, you've got us behind you on all three of them. Mike, I don't know. Are you able to stay on for a little bit more after the next segment? In the next?
Yes.
All
yes,
right.
I can.
Okay. Because we're up. We're coming up on just a few seconds before we take this break. So again, this is Representative Mike Hill. The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. Well, some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
This is Karen Morton, and I'm here to tell you about the next exciting evening coming up at the Duval Trump Club. We are meeting on Saturday, September 21st. The speaker that's coming in, Colonel Steve Rogers.
President Donald Trump understands that we are embarking upon a great struggle. And that struggle, ladies and gentlemen, is for the heart, the soul, and the spirit of the United States of America.
Colonel Rogers is the president of America Winning Coalition, but he's also a member of the advisory board to Donald J. Trump 2020. It's going to be an exciting evening. Come and find out what's happening in the national campaign and what we can do to help out. Our previous events have sold out. You can register for free on Eventbrite. Just look up Steve Rogers in Jacksonville, and there will be a contribution of $20 at the door. This includes the presentation and dinner. Don't miss the next Duval County Trump Club meeting on Saturday, September 21 at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneval Road in Jacksonville.
Did you hear? Judge Jeanine Pirro is coming to Jacksonville, and she's fired up.
The lunacy on the left, and it's worse. Lunacy has kind of almost a, you can excuse them. This is vicious. It is violent. It is disruptive. It is chaos. It is anarchy.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is a New York Times bestselling author and host of Justice with Judge Jeanine on the Fox News Channel, and is bringing her new book to Jacksonville.
In the book, Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge, I mean, I talk about their resistance and their revenge. They are radicals. They will do anything they need to stop us.
The Duval Trump Team 2020 Florida invites you to be a part of this exciting night, Thursday, September 19th at the University of North Florida Adam W. Herbert Center. Everyone attending will get an autographed copy of her new book, Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge.
We need to fight back. We need to make sure that we're heard.
Get your tickets now. Just go to eventbrite.com and search for Judge Jeanine in Jacksonville.
It's not easy making a job change, but great opportunities only come around so often. And American Electrical wants to strike a deal with you that will ignite your career like you're a first-round draft pick. American Electrical is looking for the best electricians in Jacksonville, and they'll make sure you're rewarded for the work you do. A benefits package that's second to none, including 4% matching 401k. And once you're there for 3 years, you can start planning 3 weeks of vacation. Call 737-7770 or stop by their offices on St. Augustine Road. American Electrical.
Battleground News is taking your calls now at 904-831-0600.
All right, welcome back to Battleground News. We have Representative Mike Hill on the line with us, graciously staying for one more segment. And we appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Listen, I tell you, you've got us all excited here. Ray had a question.
It's not a question. It's a statement. The infringements that you mentioned, 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 14th Amendments, are a violation of federal law, and that is Title 18, United States Code, Section 242, which is denial of rights under color of law. I think we should start taking these people to federal court and impoverishing them for all time.
Okay.
Until we do that, they're going to continue. And they're going to escalate.
So taking which people to court?
The ones that are legislating these laws, the people that are lobbying for them, anyone that is involved.
It's definitely a step beyond your legislation, that's for certain. But I know we do have one caller on the line, and that is Blake. He's got a question for you about the Second Amendment issue. So, Blake, welcome to Battleground News. What's your question today?
Thank you very much, Representative Hill, for the work you're doing. Listen, they are assaulting the Second Amendment throughout the state at the local level. You have a judge in Tallahassee who set aside the fact that the state makes the laws. What are your thoughts about that, and what are your comments about what we can do to keep the Second Amendment protected here at the local level?
Well, you raise a good point, because I know that there are some local municipalities, cities, and so forth that are trying to pass their own laws which would infringe upon the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And by the way, that's illegal when they do that. And
yes,
what we
is.
Need to do is hold them accountable when they try to do that. But what we don't need to do is hold the entire city accountable. What I mean by that is, let's say there's a violation and we fine the city of such and such. Well, the city doesn't care, because they'll pay the fine and then raise taxes on the citizens to pay for it. What we have to do is go after the individual who made the decision to make that violation, where they are the ones who should have to pay the fine or be removed from office.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't penalize the citizen, but those who actually made the decision to create that violation.
Right.
And a liability for 10 years in prison is what I understand.
We're a tough crowd over here.
Now, I would like to add that you have some great representatives over in the Northeast.
Indeed.
Representative Fisher, Yarborough, and Byrd all voted against that unconstitutional gun bill.
That's correct.
When it came up.
That's correct. And also Wyman Duggan, he also voted against it.
That's right. And so
we had a Republican who voted for it, who's in the Senate.
Well, okay. Yes, we did. But we had four good state reps in Northeast Florida that definitely held the line against the incursion on the Second Amendment. So, yes, Mike, thank you for mentioning them. We're proud of the work that they did. And I understand there was some hellacious situations that the leadership was putting people under, literally pushing them into rooms with grieving parents and brothers and sisters and so on and so forth, alone, being told that you've got to do something, and just literally being almost coerced into voting in favor of that bill. And it took a lot for anybody to stand up and say, no, I'm not doing it. This is unconstitutional.
Yeah, the emotion was gut-wrenching. I'm sure it was. Here's a grieving parent or a sibling standing in front of you crying, tears running down their face, and of course your heart goes out to them. But what we have to remember as a legislative body is that you cannot let emotion rule the day. Your emotions are so transitory. I mean, they change sometimes by the minute. What you have to do is have fidelity to your oath. Remember your oath to protect and defend the Constitution.
Right.
And as long as you have that bedrock, that foundation of your oath, then you're able to stand up against emotion.
Right, exactly.
If I may, let me explain how I look at my oath. And I wish that all legislators, all elected officials, could come to this understanding. When I said that oath, it wasn't just between me and a person administering the oath. And it wasn't just between me and my constituents. It was. But that oath was between me and the living God. I'm promising God that I will protect and defend the Constitution. And that's why we seal it with, so help me God.
Absolutely.
It's an act of worship. And so I am telling God, I promise I'm going to protect and defend this Constitution. And so when it becomes, when it is being attacked, when it's being trampled upon, I remember my oath, and I fear God more than I do man. So despite the emotion, I have to remain true to my oath.
Okay.
And protect and defend that Constitution.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. We're kind of winding down a little bit on time, and I've got one other person on the line who's got a question about your monument protection. Deborah, what's your question?
Yes, I want to know if that's going to include elected and appointed officials, including judges, monuments that might have served a first responder or a veteran.
Yes.
Because this happened up in the state of Maryland. I won't go through what happened.
If there's a monument or a statue erected to them, because it says the title of the bill says Soldiers and Heroes. So it actually lists law enforcement, it lists astronauts, and any civilian that was of made great significance to our a conflict that was going on at that time.
Wow.
So absolutely, those are also protected.
That's fantastic. You have done one heck of a lot of work putting these things together. You are, this is the most comprehensive thing I've heard in a very, very long time. And like I said, you got a bunch of people sitting here in the studio that are very, very excited about all of this. So
everybody is leaning forward.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mike, I can't thank you enough. We're coming up on the end of the segment. I wanted to just let people know that if you would like to meet and speak with Mike Hill, you can do that Thursday at the event we've got planned at the Salem Center, at the UNF Herbert Center. That is on Thursday the 21st. And if you want to find out about that event, you can go to eventbrite.com and just look for Judge Janine, and you'll be able to find that event. And again, Mike will be here for that night, and two excellent people. So we want to make sure that you are aware that you can come and see him. Mike, we would love to have you back on as things go forward. We would. How do people get hold of you? What's the best way for them to reach you if they want to get on board behind one or all of these bills?
Yes, thank you, Karen. They can go to my legislative website, contact me there, which is Mike.Hill, H-I-L-L, at myfloridahouse.gov. They can reach me there, or even a quicker way, they can go to votemikehill.com and see where I stand on all the issues. And if they send an email there, I always respond.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, as things progress and you need help, you need people to get on board and make phone calls and emails and that kind of thing, you let us know. We would love to have you back to give us an update on what's happening. You're welcome on Battleground News anytime you want to be here.
Well, thank you, Karen. You guys are gracious, and it's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. You have a great one. And for those of you on the listening audience out there, we wanted to quickly mention that the Governor Ron DeSantis has made a proclamation that Wednesday, which is 9/11, Wednesday is Patriot Day.
Yes.
And
all state flags will be at half mast, and the governor also encouraged private citizens to lower their flags that they display at home to half mast for the day.
Absolutely. Always remember, it's such a horrendous time during our history. Never forget World Trade Center, Pentagon, United Flight 93, and Benghazi. Never forget. Stay tuned with us on Friday, 5 o'clock. We will be back. Please be here with us.